Pack your bags. It's time to visit Las Vegas, America's capital for fun and entertainment. This is Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
Happy fall, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Vegas Never Sleeps. I'm Stephen Maggi. Today, we're going to visit the Neon Museum. I think you're going to find it fascinating, a lot about the history of Las Vegas through the world of signs. And we always think of the lit-up signs when we think of Las Vegas. We also think about shows, and we're going to talk to Jason Bracelin of the Las Vegas Review-Journal and find out how to get the cheapest tickets you can, why they're so high in some places, and what venues are best out there. I think you'll enjoy it. We'll visit with our Las Vegas insider, as we do every week, Scott Robin. We're going to discuss the pools of Las Vegas. Then we'll go back in time at the Casino Legends Hall of Fame and take a look at the great Frank Sinatra. Finally, we'll take a look at November in Vegas in terms of entertainment. Who's playing there? Some acts you might be interested in. When you think of the city of Las Vegas, you probably think lights, because when at nighttime, the city looks like daylight. It's incredible. And now, in this day and age, you see a lot of LEDs all up and down the street. But when you think of Vegas, particularly from the old movies and that kind of thing, you think neon. You got to go to the Neon Museum. It's an incredible place. And with us today to talk about it is Rob McCoy, the president and CEO of the Neon Museum. Rob, this is a really unique museum. Is it? I mean, it's nothing like I've ever seen.
No, there's really not. And first of all, welcome to the Neon Museum in Boneyard, and congratulations on your show. Wish you nothing but the best. As you know, Las Vegas is one-of-a-kind city, and so it only makes sense that we would have a one-of-a-kind museum. And this is the only museum of its kind in the world that showcases probably the great, iconic neon art forms of the 20th century. There's no place like it.
It's really something, and it's not the typical museum where you walk in and there's particular displays and so forth. You're walking outside, and you know, you call it a boneyard. So kind of tell people what they expect to see, because I think it's going to really surprise them.
Well, you know, we have over 600 artifacts in the collection. Many of them are whole signs. Some of them are only parts of signs. But all of the great signs of the Las Vegas Strip from the 20th century, the Sands, the Sahara, the Desert Inn, the Dunes, the Stardust, which was the largest freestanding sign ever on the Las Vegas Strip. And then we have what we call the motel section. And a lot of people forget that we had a great motel row, not only on Fremont Street, but also on Las Vegas Boulevard. And then we have a number of businesses, local businesses that are also represented. And we have two tours. So we have a daytime tour, excuse me, where you can kind of see the nuts and bolts of the signs, how they're constructed. Then we have a totally different tour at nighttime, where we showcase the lights and sort of the mystique and the design of the signs.
Yeah, and it's really something to see, and it brings you back. And really, for the person that wants to dig into that vintage Las Vegas, the real history of it, this is told by that. Like, for example, you're talking about the motels. Yeah, one time, while gambling's always been the big draw, at the same time, this was a place where you went out and hung out by the pool and enjoyed the desert sun.
Well, that's absolutely right. And a lot of the major hotels started that way. They were basically glorified motels that had these false, incredibly beautiful and creative fronts on them. You know, it wasn't until the late 50s and the 60s where we started going high-rise. So it's the city has changed a lot. We call it the Manhattanization of Las Vegas, and that's kind of where we're at right now. One thing we don't want to lose is the lore and sort of the romance of old Vegas. You know, I say constantly, we're the only city in the world that implodes its landmark buildings but saves the signs.
Well, thank God they do. This place is really interesting, and people don't just walk around here. They actually have docent-led tours, that kind of thing?
Yes, our primary tour is a docent-led tour. It's about an hour long. both during the daytime and during the evening hours. We have, however, just opened up our satellite boneyard, our north boneyard, for self-guided tours between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. Routinely, our docent-led tours are sold out, and people will come to the museum. They're disappointed. Well, we can point them to the north boneyard and say, hey, if you want to take a look-see, here you go.
That's great. Now, you know, also, even in this part of Las Vegas Boulevard, it's just north of downtown, it seems to me that you have stuff even out on the street, which is really kind of cool. It kind of leads you right to the museum, which is easy to find.
Yes, that's part of our Scenic Byways program, and there is a plan in place that several of the iconic signs will be restored and placed in the center of Las Vegas Boulevard from Washington Avenue, just down the street from us, all the way to Sahara Avenue. And we currently have six signs in the center medium of Las Vegas Boulevard. And the most iconic sign of all is in the median right in front of our museum, and that's the Silver Slipper.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you've seen any old films, you've seen that slipper. It's really incredible. Rob, now what I found interesting, just meeting you, you've got a long history with this town.
You know, really do. My family came here in 1939, so I was born and raised here. And I half-jokingly tell folks that the signs in our boneyard are like members of my family, because I literally grew up with them and have very fond memories. And so this place is very special to me and my family. So it's kind of cool that now I'm running a museum like this.
Well, yeah, and just for a second, kind of talk about the changes you've seen, because you went from a place that was, you know, relatively small, you know, and it became a little bit of a tourist thing. Did you ever think you would see a place that now has 2 million people living here?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because my family in 1939, when they arrived here, there were 7,000 people living in the Las Vegas Valley. There's now upwards, depending on who you want to believe, about 2.5 million. When I graduated from high school locally, a lot of my contemporaries went away to college, as did I. I came back. A lot of them didn't. And I've stayed in touch with some of them, and they have said, Rob, do you ever regret not leaving Las Vegas like we did? And I go, are you kidding me? I said, I have been a witness to history, because there will never be another city created like this ever again in the United States.
Well, there's no question about it. Do you have any kind of events here? I mean, there's so many things going on. I'm wondering, do you ever have any special things where you bring folks in? The nighttime thing is a must. I mean, you probably should see it twice, because it is two different places.
We have a number of corporate events. Folks are able to rent the museum for an evening. We have a tremendous amount of weddings. Folks want to get married both in the main boneyard and also in the north boneyard. And we have receptions and business events all the time. So, yeah, we do lease it out.
You know, there's so many different things here. You guys have to see it for yourself. What are your favorites? Do you have like two or three that are you particularly in your own mind, like, wow, this is so unusual, it's so cool?
Steve, that's like asking me, who's my favorite grandchild? Oh, you know, I would have to say the Silver Slipper, which is out front in front of our visitors center. It is iconic. I would probably say the Stardust sign, and probably the Moulin Rouge sign. The Stardust sign, because it, as I mentioned, it was the largest freestanding sign ever on the Las Vegas Strip. When it was given to us by the Boyd family, Bill Boyd of Boyd Gaming, he paid for it to have it cut up into six pieces and shipped down the street to us. And to tell you how expensive that is, that was $250,000 move for that sign. So these things are not inexpensive. The Moulin Rouge sign has great American sort of social interest to it. It was built in West Las Vegas, which was predominantly black. And this was the hotel that was built for black stars on the Strip who were not allowed to socialize, even though they were working there. They would go over and they would stay at the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, and I understand that was a real exciting time and so forth, but for whatever reason, it didn't last. Unfortunately, you know, they cut out the segregation in the rest of the Strip.
Well, I can tell you one reason why it didn't last, and that's because of Frank Sinatra. When Sammy Davis Jr., his pal, was forced to enter the Strip hotels through the kitchen and then was not allowed to stay at the hotel, basically Sinatra said, no, you want me to appear in Las Vegas, they're going to be treated just like I am. He was a real barrier breaker.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff. And again, this is the type of history that you're going to get in a place like this. It's really incredible. The story of moving it is unreal. Is there any particular one that you think this is the kind of the strangest thing you might see here?
We have a few of those. One we call the Mullet Man, and it's a sign that was off a shopping center in the center of town, and it's a guy in a Western shirt with a pool stick, and he's got a mullet. And we call him Mullet Man, and he is he's right in the middle of the Boneyard. One right close to that would be the next one would be, you know, when they rebranded Treasure Island as TI and got rid of the pirate sign with the big skull, that skull now lays flat in our Boneyard. And you can actually see it from the air. So their skull is staring up at you.
Coming up, you'll hear more about the Neon Museum with the president and CEO of the Neon Museum, Rob McCoy. Also, we'll chat with Jason Braceland of the Las Vegas Review-Journal about tickets and their prices here in Vegas. You're listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
World-class hotels, dining, gaming, special events, and more. This is Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
Forgotten Heroes, the independent film that Hollywood refused to distribute.
They were asked to risk their lives in order to save their enemy.
The producers of Forgotten Heroes are donating 25% of all sales to the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial Fund.
We need someone to go in there and bring him out.
From first-time director Jack Marino, the home run for America's Vietnam veteran.
They are forgotten heroes.
Buy the DVD now at ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com. That's ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com.
I'm here with Logan Reed, my own personal business coach that does so much more than just business. Logan, do you find that people come to you thinking about business and ended up leaving where it's really about their entire life?
That's actually a great question, because what I find is that people often come to me and ask, am I a business coach? Am I a career coach? Am I a life coach? And I say, I don't care what you call me, because when you change any part of your life, so if we're talking about your career or your relationship, it's going to change everything. So when we make changes in one part, it touches every part of our life.
So how do we get involved? How do we get more information about you and what you're doing?
Sure. You can give me a call at 360-529-1848. Or email me at Logan@LoganReedCoaching.com. And you could also check out my website if you want to learn more about me at LoganReedCoaching.com.
Waste management has earth-friendly plans that fit the biggest corporations and recycling programs to help smaller companies get started. We're there for you every night and on the job with you every day. When you put waste management to work, you get an environmental partner and big ideas for every size business. From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green. Think waste management. To learn more, visit WM.com.
Coming up in a few minutes, you're going to meet Jason Braceland of the Las Vegas Review-Journal talking about tickets and shows in Vegas. But up first, more with Rob McCoy, the president and CEO of the Neon Museum. So as this museum goes on through decades and so forth, are you always on the lookout for this kind of thing? Do you have any things where you kind of see, like, you know, someday they're going to take that down, and when they do, we want it here?
Yeah, we're very cognizant of that. It used to be when the museum first started that we would actually have to call and ask for the signs. Now, we are normally the first call any company makes. They say, hey, we want to give you this sign. But, you know, there are signs not only in Las Vegas, but I would say around the state that we very much would like to have if and when they cease to become effective.
Oh, so that's interesting. So like maybe something from even like a place like Reno or, you know, Tahoe or something like that, you would take that in here as well?
We absolutely would. In fact, we just was offered yesterday a sign from Winnemucca. And Winnemucca is up near the Idaho border. And so we're very much interested in that.
When you talk about neon and the whole thing, the way neon works and so forth, is that something people are going to find out a little bit about, too, kind of the whole science behind this?
Currently, we do not offer that, but it's funny you should mention it. We are getting ready and are working on some major expansion plans where we actually will move some of our operation across the street in an indoor gallery because there's a lot of indoor signs that we have in storage. And part of that indoor gallery will include a neon fabrication area where you will be able to see designers and sign companies actually fabricating, bending the tubes, gassing them, and electrifying them.
We can't wait for that. And there's two really great museums in the downtown area, particularly if you stay here, but even in the Strip, you got to make the trip. This and the Mob Museum, and I understand you guys work together.
We do. There's a joint ticket that you can buy that gives you both museums for one price. It's been a great relationship with the Mob Museum, and you're right, they're the only two museums of their kind in the world.
Well, and I think that's kind of the cool thing is that, you know, people always make fun of the people that go to Hoover Dam, you know, and that kind of thing. Oh, they don't like the real excitement of Las Vegas. Let me tell you, these museums are different the way you get past the word museum. It's so much more.
Oh, it absolutely is. And the future is very bright for this museum. A lot of expansion will be coming up and just great things ahead.
And do you work with the Young Electric Museum sign? I mean, they made most of these signs. Do they get involved with this?
Yes. YESCO's been a great help to us over the years. The collection started actually 20 years ago. Some of the sign designers wanted to save some of the old signs, and they started storing them on the back lot of YESCO. The museum's only been open for 4 years. So YESCO's played an integral part in this, but we have other sign companies as well that work very closely with us.
Okay, I know by this point people want to say, we want to see this. So let's tell them how they get there and then all the different ways they can find out about it.
Well, we're in old historic downtown Las Vegas. We're at 770 Las Vegas Boulevard North, near the 95 Expressway, in an area that's been deemed by the city as a cultural corridor. We have currently 19 tours total a day, both day and night. The daytime tour is $19, and the night tour is a little more expensive. It's $25. If you want to add on a self-guided tour in the Neon North Boneyard, that'll be an additional $5 onto your current ticket. If you just want to do the self-guided tour by itself, it's $10.
Okay, this all sounds great. And people want to get a head start. Look, where are you on the web?
Neonmuseum.org.
That's easy. Hey, thanks a lot. Best of luck. We can't wait to see what happens for this place. Once you expand some more, it's really exciting.
Thanks, Steve, and good luck with the show.
Let's now take a moment to think about seeing a show. What's the cost and why sometimes are they just so high? Well, when you go to Las Vegas, one of the things is to get great seats at a great concert. Everybody wants to do it, but you know, things are done differently right now. And in fact, there was a great article written in the Las Vegas Review Journal, and I'm here with the writer of that article, Jason Braceland. Now, Jason, really interesting story, and it involves the Rolling Stones, who are playing out of T-Mobile Arena. And I get this because this happened to the exact same concert to a friend of mine who got on. They say you got to go to their website at 10 a.m. sharp. He gets on. He's ready to go. I mean, he's got it down to it's wired up with Greenwich Mean Time, all that. Gets on. And in 5 minutes, all the good tickets are gone, you know, and all the cheap tickets are gone. And a very limited choice. A lot of people are complaining. This is something you hear a lot about, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that there's a lot of frustration on behalf of concert goers, and that's something that's really understandable because I mean, a lot of people feel like it's kind of a bait and switch tactic, and the reason that is because when you log on, I mean, you said the tickets were gone, but in reality, they were never really there. They were, you know, the best seats in the house now oftentimes get directly kicked up to these resellers who, in many instances, are run by the same companies that sell the tickets originally, like Ticketmaster and such. And so there's a lot of frustration because, again, you log on at 10 a.m. and the good seats have immediately been redirected to these other sites. So it's a common thing now, and I think people are starting to become aware of it. But it's certainly frustrating when you feel like back in the day it was a little bit more of a meritocracy. You know, when I was a kid going to concerts, you got down to the wherever little outlet sold them. A couple hours before they went on sale, you stood in line, and the person that was there first got the shots at the best seats. But those days are long, long gone.
Oh, no question. So right off the bat, then, the $400 ticket, which is the highest price, really isn't $400, is what it amounts to, right?
Exactly. The ticket will read that. The face value will be that, but no one ever had a shot at buying it for that price.
Yeah, and you talk about the old days, and it is different because now in those expensive seats, there are people that you talk in the article about, these are the Rolex wearers and the Bentley drivers and that kind of thing. And there is some truth to it. I mean, in the old days, if you were first in line, you were sitting in the best seat. And I guess there's pro and con of that. I mean, one time, too, you could have people lighting off M80s and that kind of thing at concerts. That doesn't happen anymore. A concert like the Rolling Stones, of course, it's for old timers now like me, gets a different type of crowd.
Sure. And just the concept of tiered pricing, it's become so ubiquitous, but even that is a relatively new phenomenon. Again, in the 90s, it started around in the mid-90s. I believe the Eagles were the first band to kind of do that. But if you remember, tickets used to be just one price, no matter where you were in the arena. I mean, if a ticket was $25 for it was $25 for the front row, it was $25 for, the nosebleed seats. So that the tiered pricing came in, and that's changed things. And then this new development of really kind of kicking things directly to the resale sites has had a pronounced effect, I think, on the makeup of the crowd, as you suggest. I mean, it really has become something that is just not available to everyone now. And you can kind of understand that from the band's position. The bands are saying they're trying to maximize their profits, what's rightfully theirs from the sale of tickets. Why should a scalper be able to buy a ticket and flip it and make $200 or $300? None of that goes to the band. So, they're defending their right to, get as much of the proceeds from a given ticket sale as they should. But for a lot of the fans, especially older fans who kind of have gone to concerts in the 70s, 80s, and 90s before this current era, I think it's a frustrating thing, a frustrating change, and something that it's hard to get your mind around, and I think it alienates a lot of people. As you saw from the article, I mean, that was a very frustrated Rolling Stone fans, and I get those emails quite a bit. You understand where they're coming from, but that is definitely the way things are, and I don't see it switching back, especially with physical music sales so diminished. Bands are going to compensate by maximizing their tour revenue, maximizing merchandise sales, which is why if you go to a show now, you see T-shirts used to cost $20, $25. Now they're $40, $50. So every part of the concert-going experience is just much, much, much more expensive now, and certainly that's had a pronounced effect on the makeup of the audience and how many shows people can go to. It's much more of a once or twice a year event, I think, for people. It costs hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Well, and you make a good point. It's the music industry that's really changed. These guys used to make a lot of money in record sales and stuff. Now with YouTube and all this various free sharing and so forth, this is how they have to make their money, right? So it's kind of just changed the economics of everything.
Absolutely. And I mean, from a fan's perspective, maybe you can, look at it that way. You can say, well, I used to spend X amount of money on CDs and records every month, and I'm not doing that. If you subscribe to Spotify, it's $10-$20 a month. So you do, maybe have savings in terms of physical sales that you maybe justify redirecting to a concert ticket or a more expensive T-shirt. But certainly the change in the industry has led to bands really maximizing tour revenue, and you can understand that. I mean, of course, when one revenue stream dries up, you're going to try and maximize a new one. But that's certainly, I think, a driving force behind it as well.
Well, and you ended your article by saying, you know what, sitting in the upper bowl at a Stones gig isn't all that bad. And I agree with that. Because another thing that's changed is back in the day, and I used to cover concerts when I was in my youth, and if you sat up close, you know, that stuff was blaring and so forth. But now, especially in a place like T-Mobile Arena, it really doesn't matter where you sit. The sound's going to be really good, right?
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of advancements. You mentioned T-Mobile, and that's a pretty fantastic venue for its size. I mean, the design and the emphasis on really maximizing the live event has really shifted. Because you remember, when a lot of these arenas were built, they were built more with sports events in mind. You know, they were, you know, local basketball or, you know, college or pro team would play there, or a hockey team or something like that. So a lot of these venues that, you know, were, you know, frequently used in the 70s, 80s, and 90s weren't really built with the live concert experience in mind. And that's totally changed. You know, the technology has advanced so much, especially here in a city like Vegas, where we have venues like the Joint and the Pearl, which are relatively small venues, yet they have the rigging capacity of an arena. So you get to see a full arena production that, you know, that would play a 15 or a 20,000 seater in another city in a 4,000 or a 2,500 capacity room. So here in Vegas, we're kind of privileged in that we get to see, you know, some of these big shows in a relatively confined space. But at the same time, that's also going to jack up the ticket price a little bit, because instead of, you know, spreading the cost, you know, a band's guarantee around 20,000 people, that cost has to be spread around 4,000 or 2,500 people. So that's another thing here specifically in Vegas that leads to a little bit higher of a ticket price than if you were seeing a band in another market in a bigger room.
All right, well, let's talk about seeing a concert in Vegas or what have you. For people that are visiting, okay, obviously T-Mobile, the Stones, that's a big thing. What about some of these other acts? For example, Elton John, Rod Stewart, they play at Caesars. I saw John Fogerty at the Venetian. It was a great concert. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things people can look for? I mean, are they running into the same thing where the close seats are super expensive? Is it any different? What do you suggest?
You know, the rooms that you raise are a good point, because though, you know, some of these, you know, theaters on the Strip in casino properties like the Coliseum or the Venetian Room where Fergie's playing, which I agree is a great show, those aren't subjected to the same things I'm talking about at the Rolling Stones show in the T-Mobile Arena. So you do have access to better seats, you know, directly at those venues. Now, you know, of course, you're going to pay for them, because as I said earlier, you're seeing, you know, if you see Celine here in Vegas, I mean, that's like a 4,000 capacity room, I believe, and she's going to play a 20,000 seater and sell it out in just about any other market. So, you know, there, and she gets a flat fee no matter where she plays, so she's not going to, you know, take less money to play a smaller room. It's going to be spread around a little bit, but those are really fantastic rooms. And again, that's one of the cool things if you're a visitor coming to Vegas. We have a lot of, in the past 10 years, we've really seen an explosion in growth in these really high-end, you know, relatively smaller rooms. I mean, I'm talking about a 4,000-seater, so that's not small. Yeah. But, and we have a new one, obviously, opening up here at the Monte Carlo soon that Stevie Nicks is going to be the first performer at in December. So if you're coming out of town, you do really have a chance to see some big names in, you know, relatively intimate setting that you're not going to see anywhere else. That's really become a Vegas trademark, and also some of the finest, most elaborate venues around. Excellent sound, you know, like the Pearl and the Chelsea at the Cosmo is another one of those rooms. We really kind of have cornered the market, I think, on some of these really high-end, relatively smaller venues.
You will hear more from Jason Braislin of the Las Vegas Review-Journal in just a moment. You'll also learn about a place in Vegas to play golf and have a party, all without the need to be a regular golfer. This is Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
Visit us at VegasNeverSleeps.com. This is Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
Are you looking to save money on your prescription medications? Are your prescription costs too high? Are you paying out of pocket for your meds? Or is your copay too high? Well, if you answered yes to any of these questions, you've got to check out the RX Cut free prescription discount card. And getting your free discount card is easy. All you do is go to the website rxcutdiscounts.com. The free RX Cut prescription discount card allows you to get significant discounts on either brand name or generic prescription medications, and it also works on meds with high copays. There are no fees, no forms, no personal information needed, and the cards are active immediately. Discount cards are also good for the entire family, and they never expire. Again, to get your free discount cards, visit rxcutdiscounts.com. You may get the free discount card either by U.S. mail, email, text, or simply print out the discount card online. It's just that easy.
Dear Daddy, dear Mom,
I love you.
I miss you.
Every year, Snowball Express honors the children of fallen soldiers. Hi, everybody. I'm Tony Orlando. Join me in proudly supporting Snowball Express, a nonprofit that creates opportunities to help heal the children of our fallen heroes. We can never repay the sacrifice our soldiers have made, but we can honor them by giving back to their children. Donate now at snowballexpress.org.
You may not realize it, but there's a source of renewable energy right in your neighborhood, and you're helping to power it. Today, Waste Management is using the resources at our disposal to create energy from waste. Enough green energy to power over 1 million homes. It's an idea we're proud to drive forward. From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green. Think Waste Management.
Las Vegas Review Journal reporter Jason Braceland discussing what's happening with Las Vegas show ticket prices. And Jason tells us that there's been some changes made from the past. Well, yeah, and this is a case of Las Vegas, again, evolving with the times, where at one time it was, you know, you had the Sinatras and some great lounge acts and stuff. And now we're at a point where you can see some great music. You know, it's obviously different music for a different age group, but there's so many great options. I want to ask you, Jason, is there some great small options that you can see some really good acts that you want to recommend?
Yeah, I mean, some of, I've kind of touched on some of them, but the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan, that's about a 3,500, I think 4,000 seater. Now that's a you know, a fantastic room. It opened about 2-3 years ago. Really, you know, just one of those rooms where you get to see again acts that would headline an amphitheater or a stadium, even in another market. So that's one that stands out. The Pearl at the Palms is another one that's been around a little bit longer, but really high end room with perfect sound. And I think the it's only like the worst seat in the house, something like 150 feet from the stage. So that gives you a sense of how intimate that venue is. And again, that's another one where full on arena shows are held because they built it with that in mind. So there's a fair amount. And, the last one, the new one, is the one that's opening up at the Monte Carlo. That's a 3,000-seater. So that's kind of a luxury theater that's real close to the T-Mobile Arena. So, chance to see a little bit more intimate shows next to the big arena experience a few feet away.
Yeah, it's exciting. And then final point, your colleague over at the Review Journal, my buddy Steve Karp, says, if the stadium comes for the Raiders, that might be the last thing. He mentioned Bruce Springsteen. I guess there are some people, I guess Taylor Swift's like that now too, where they only play stadiums. Will that open another a door for Vegas, maybe the final door?
We're hoping. I mean, Springsteen's kind of like, that last outlier who hasn't played here. I mean, last time he came here was the Thomas and Mack. Can't remember exactly what year, but it's been a long time. He's that guy that we've had our fingers crossed trying to get. So I would think opening a stadium, because I think with Springsteen and some of these acts, like Radiohead is another one. For whatever reason, they just don't like to play at the casinos. They're not into that yeah. crowd, I guess. So that's why Springsteen hasn't came here. So to your point, I think having a stadium would definitely sweeten the pot. And we're also kind of hoping that big Rock in Rio festival. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but yeah. If that returns next year, we think maybe Springsteen could be a good headliner for that. But definitely, I would agree with that point that having a stadium like that would bring us the Springsteens and maybe the U2s who didn't come here on their most recent tour, some acts like that, that have skipped Vegas. That's really the only act we don't get anymore. So I think that would be a step forward for that, for sure.
Well, Jason Braceland, you write for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, a must-read when you come into town. Is there a way we can follow you online, though, if we don't live there?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. That'd be great. It's just at Jason Braceland, B-R-A-C-E-L-I-N. So try to keep everyone abreast of all the developments here in town. So log on if you can.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
You know, I was driving in Las Vegas, just behind the MGM, and I remember the first time I saw this thing, my first thought was, wow, that was like a driving range. And then as I got closer, I go, that's no driving range I ever saw. It's this incredible thing called Top Golf, and with us today, Brian O'Reilly, a partner in Top Golf Las Vegas. Top Golf, first of all, people that don't know it, it's way more than a driving range, right, Brian?
This is correct. It had to be more than a driving range to convince MGM to put something like this on the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah, it's just an incredible entertainment thing. I mean, if you don't like golf, you're going to love it. If you like golf, you're going to love it even more. Kind of explain, kind of bring us through exactly what it is, because it's got some of the remnants of a driving range, but it's way more.
So imagine going to your best sports bar you've ever been to times 100, since we have basically a three-story television by two-story wide. We've got a sports book built into the complex, so any game you ever wanted to watch, any sporting event you wanted to watch, you'd come here. Then put an intimate pool setting, a high-level intimate pool setting, that also has an incredible television outside, so you can watch any game you wanted to while sitting in the pool, betting sports all day. Wrap that around incredible food, incredible drinks, incredible friends, and incorporate the game of Top Golf, which is an interactive game utilizing the game of golf with RFIDs in the balls and giant targets in the outfield that allow you to basically play games with each other. So instead of just going out and hitting a ball and watching it drop, you're actually getting a score and competing against your friends and having fun.
Yeah, that's what's really cool about it, too. You can take kids there. You can take, you know, maybe your best friend or something that never played golf, and they're all going to have a blast with it. Whereas, you know, you go to a normal driving range, unless you're a regular golf player, you know, it can be kind of dull and you get frustrated. This is just a blast.
Well, over 70% of the people aren't avid golfers or don't play golf that come to Top Golf. So you don't have to be a golfer to come play. I mean, there's people playing in high heels and skirts. There's people playing in board shorts. There's people playing in bikinis. There's kids playing with their parents. There's little ones that are – I have my 2.5-year-old I bring there, and he hits probably 3 little balls with our toddler clubs. And the next 15, he throws out in the outfield and has a blast.
So yeah.
It's fun for everyone.
It really is, and it's just another one of those great things. And I know there's Top Golf places around. How many are out there now that, besides Las Vegas?
There's 26 total, but there's only one flagship, which is Las Vegas.
Absolutely. And just so I was going to say, Brian, you know, it's like Vegas does it better. And I mean, going to somebody in Las Vegas and saying, let's go out to the driving range, and it's in the summertime, so it can be 105, 108 or something. Not too much fun. This is climate controlled, though, right? So you could be in there in pure comfort.
It is climate controlled. You know, there's a data center named Switch in town, which is, you know, has patented AC technology. The same people that helped design that helped design the climate control systems within Top Golf. So, yes, you're outdoor, you're indoor, but, you know, it's a comfortable environment, even though it's 108 outside.
If you're a people watcher, you're going to see, as you mentioned before, everybody there. There's even celebrities. I was looking at the list of some of the people that have been by there. I mean, you've had everybody from Gwen Stefani, Justin Timberlake, to Blake Shelton. It's just one of those type of places that everybody wants to come to.
You know, you can be yourself there. It's, you know, as Justin said, you know, I can come here, have fun with my friends and see everybody and enjoy myself. So it's not a spectacle. I mean, everybody can have fun and be themselves there, which is great.
Well, you know what else is cool about that too, Brian, is you can bring a bunch of people. And unlike a game at one of the top courses, that could cost you a pretty penny. Your prices are really reasonable there for a lot of entertainment.
Very reasonable. You know, you don't charge you to come into the facility. So if you want to come in and enjoy the facility, watch games, get a drink, you know, we don't charge you to come in and enjoy the facility. If you want to play the game of Top Golf, you know, there's 4 levels. So, you know, on the first level, it's, you know, cheaper, and as it goes up by level, we charge a little bit more. But like you said, it's a very reasonable for what we're offering on every level.
It's one of those great things that only Vegas does, where you take the high tech, you know, aspect of what's out there, all the best in that, and combine it with something like golf that everybody kind of understands at least, you know, what you're trying to do. And then the scoring is rather simple. And I guess it's one of those things, again, where you can probably figure a way to play with people of all different skill levels.
There's a simple game we play. It's called Top Pressure. It's one of multiple games that you can play. And it's similar to darts, where there's nine targets within our one target, and you have to close it out like darts. And, you know, actually, Justin Timberlake is the first one I know of to close it out in nine shots. This has become a competition amongst many, because it is. It sits right in front of the tees. It's a sand wedge away, and anybody can hit it. Even if you probably hit a putter hard, you can make it into the hole.
Yeah, again, I can't wait to, next time I'm down in town, I can't wait to go out there, because there's just so many things you can do. For example, you can go, like you say, jump in the pool. I mean, this is really, really something. And bet on your favorite sports things. You can make a whole day of it there.
You can. You know, we built it to be flexible, too. So when you come to Topgolf, you're going to experience something different every time. You're working on beer festivals there. We have concerts now, because there's a concert hall for 900 people, so we have an intimate stage as well, which is our small lounge. So when you come there, whether it's the afternoon or nighttime, you're going to see or experience something different. And that's what we wanted to, build here. It's the experience in Las Vegas, you know. Oh, my God, I can't believe that just happened when I was at Topgolf. So we've created that, and every time you come visit us, you're going to experience something different.
Well, when you decided to build that, was that one of the things that you said, okay, look, we're going into a place that has, so when you talk about entertainment, there's more competition there than maybe any other spot in the world. So you had to make this different, right? I mean, it was something where, and it had to be the special location of all locations for you.
It is. You know, I was born and raised in Las Vegas, and, you know, I've experienced the charity dinners in the ballrooms. I experienced the corporate events in the ballrooms. And we wanted to create the next ballroom that was indoor-outdoor and that allowed for people to have a completely different experience when they come here. So we're giving that an ultra-alternative that doesn't exist in Las Vegas. And when you look at the pool scene, it was time for something different as well. You can sit at the pool and, you know, watch people float by in the lazy river, or you can go to these day clubs and, you know, end up kind of, you know, ears thumping after a couple hours and wanting to leave. And we figured, you know, the things we're going to provide are the next level of entertainment that Vegas hasn't been offering yet. And so I think we're the leader in what I believe is the next level of entertainment.
Yeah, and what was nice for people that do bring a family, particularly like kids that are in the under 21, but they're past their puberty years, and there's really not a lot to do in some for that group in some ways. This is a perfect place to bring somebody where you can really have a lot of fun and so forth and get a little feel of that Las Vegas excitement that sometimes escapes that age range.
Well, I mean, if you want to do age range or even just by party, for instance, you know, I bring my family there. We have an incredible 2 hours. The kids have a blast. You also have the bachelor parties coming now. You have the bachelorette parties coming. You have the reunions. You have the people coming here for weddings. You have people coming here for corporate events. So you run the gamut, you know, of everybody coming to Topgolf that wants to experience something with their groups. So, you know, we provide that group place for everybody to have fun, no matter if it's a family, bachelor party, bachelorette party, or, you know, a corporate outing.
Fantastic. And of course, because it's Vegas, you know the food's going to be great. And again, this is not the kind of fare you get at these type of places or even on a golf course. I mean, there's some incredible talk about some of the options we have if we want to dine there.
You know, our chef's amazing. We, you know, he's been in Las Vegas a while. He came from, you know, the Cosmopolitan. We've created, you know, an incredible menu. You know, in our cabana menu, we've got giant sushi platters that are just incredible. We've got a meat platter that, you know, is second to none with our giant tomahawk steak that, you know, a group can share. So all of our food is shareable. You know, we've got skewers that have amazing steak, chicken on it. We've got good salads. Our pizzas are to die for. You know, our flatbreads are incredible, and people rave about them. So when you come here, it truly is just isn't bar food. It's a food experience as well as a drink experience. At 2 a.m., we're asking people to leave because the place is still packed. And at 4 a.m., you'll be surprised on the weekend, people are still not wanting to leave.
Well, and if people want to get involved with this, first of all, if they live in the Vegas area, this is a place you can go all the time. But there are other Topgolfs. What I found interesting, and I want you to talk for just a minute about it, if you would, is you can really get involved with this. I mean, you've got what you call Topgolf U lessons, leagues, all sorts of things. So there's a whole laundry list of things you can do with this if you really enjoy it.
We're going to be launching here. Upcoming, we have a Topgolf Challenge, which is a nationwide, you know, basic tournament the finals will be in Las Vegas, and the winners can win up to $50,000. So we're going to, you know, the 26 sites around the country will end up coming to Las Vegas for these finals. On top of that, we do have, you know, Top Golf instructors that will be teaching lessons. We're creating summer leagues in the future so that people can come down and have competitions. We have scramble tournaments, so if you have a charity event you like to throw, that people are coming down here instead of going to a golf course and holding a scramble golf tournament where they can still do the exact same thing they do on the outside golf tournament with closest to the pin, you know, card giveaways, silent auctions. So, you know, we've become the alternative for, you know, being on the golf course as well as the event planning and the event throwing location that people want to be in.
Okay, so people now are drooling at doing this. Let's tell them where to go. So first of all, if they want to find out more about Top Golf itself, where can we go online?
Top Golf Las Vegas.
Okay, that's simple enough. And then, of course, you're right next to the MGM there, but why don't you give people details on how to get there, what's the easiest way to get in, and so forth.
We are on the corner of Harmon and Koval, directly behind the MGM Grand. If you are parking at the MGM, you can valet or park. We have a shuttle bus that provides transportation from the front of MGM to us, or you can pull up in front of our location, which is the entrance just off Koval, and there is valet there for you to pull in and walk right in our building.
Outstanding. Well, we'll all check it out, and we'll check back with you maybe in a few months and see how everything's going there. Best of luck to you, Brian.
Thank you so much. Keep checking the calendar because we have amazing, amazing events coming up in the future.
Thanks, Brian.
Is there something you've always wanted to know about Las Vegas? Drop us a line at info@vegasneversleeps.com. This is Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
You'd never suspect that you could find natural beauty as part of a working landfill. You can. Today, waste management landfills provide more than 17,000 acres of protected land for wildlife habitats. Working closely with communities and the Wildlife Habitat Council, we can ensure there will be protected space for native animal and plant life to thrive. From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green. Think waste management.
I'm here with Logan Reed, my own personal business coach. You know, a lot of people may think this is all a bunch of psychobabble and that kind of thing. But in reality, this is stuff that on the surface may seem like we're going to explore our background. But actually, we're just getting really in touch with ourselves to see how we can be more successful. Is that what you try to do with people?
It is. So I'm not so interested in what's happened in the past. What I'm looking for is where people are now, where they want to be, and coaching always takes place in the gap. So what are the things, where are the places where they're getting stopped that's in that gap? And then when we move through those, they end up having what they want, whatever their goal is for themselves.
Okay, we're all excited about it now. So how do we get involved? How do we get more information about you and what you're doing?
Sure. You can give me a call at 360-529-1848 or email me at logan@loganreedcoaching.com. And you could also check out my website if you want to learn more about me at loganreedcoaching.com.
Time now for the Vegas Insider with our good friend Scott Robin. This town has more pools. I mean, really incredible pools. You know, a lot of hotels have them. I have never seen, though, the hotels like these. You know, you can gamble in them. They're huge and so forth. Tell us some of the best places that you think, you know, if somebody's going to come out and wants to, really loves the water and wants to hang out of the pool, what are some of the best places, you know, in town?
There are some pretty spectacular pools. I mean, world-class pools. There is a wave pool at Mandalay Bay. It is massive. It actually makes waves. That is a really popular beach. There's actually sand on that beach. So it's kind of a simulated beach, but you're 2 seconds away from a casino, which in my world, that makes something even better. So it's an awesome technological feat. But the fact that you can walk 2 minutes and gamble makes it even better. You've got to see the Caesar's Palace pools. There are probably 7, and it is just beautifully designed. There tend to be beautiful people around that pool. There's a whole other subset of Vegas visitor that likes pool parties, that likes day clubs, and those are a different experience as well as basically a nightclub at a pool. You will be able to hear them from a mile away. The Encore Beach Club is an example of one where you can hear it across the street, and it is a loud, boisterous environment, and there are a lot of people that love it. It's a nightclub in that you can get a table service, you can get a lot of those amenities you can find at a nightclub, but it's at a pool. So I don't tend to go to those because I'm an elderly person, but they are very popular. And I don't know, I tend to look at pools like, honestly, you could pretty much any resort you can think of. Downtown is a little pool challenge because there's pretty much the Golden Nugget. That one has a shark tank, and you can slide through the shark tank, which is a lot of fun. But for the most part, downtown hotels have smaller pools. So if pools are of big interest and you want to go to a massive pool, it's probably better to go to the Strip for those.
And you can read what Scott Robin's talking about all the time at VitalVegas.com. Time now for our weekly entertainment calendar. These are acts that are coming in November, just a few that you might want to take a look at. If you like comedy, you can go see Ray Romano. He's teaming up with David Spade at the Mirage Hotel on November 11th and 12th. And if you didn't know that David Spade did stand up, here's a sample.
You don't know when you're a kid if your family has any money, because everything's fun when you're a kid. Like, you're told later. You know, like, I guess we were broke. I didn't know. Everything's, you know, you play with rocks, whatever. I knew I was broke because I had a rock collection. I look back, rocks are free. I didn't really, you know, put that together. Mom's like, you should collect bottle caps. It wasn't gold bars, you know what I mean? But I'm, it's about like, this guy going to Glendale Community, you're getting 3 credits. Stay on me, dude. I'm not sprinting around. I'm going in 3 feet this way or that way. It's not, he's like, oh, he's moving. He said he was just going to stand there.
Whoopi Goldberg, she doesn't tour much, but she's going to be at Treasure Island on November 11th. Switch to music now. Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith are going to be at the MGM Grand November 12th. And on November 13th, a fantastic act.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ringo Starr. A little help for my friends.
Ringo Starr and his all-stars are at the Smith Center. And one of the all-stars that Ringo features is at big act in itself, Todd Rundgren. Some of the acts that are there all the time through November include Boyz II Men. They're at the Mirage, great act. Like magic, you can't do any better than David Copperfield. He's at the MGM Grand. And finally, the one group that when you think of Las Vegas, you always think of them. That's the Blue Man Group. They're at the Luxor. And when we return, you'll take the weekly trip back in time as we visit the Casino Legends Hall of Fame. Today's subject, Frank Sinatra. You're listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
From the famous to the fascinating. In a climate as fun, fast, and flashy as Las Vegas, This is Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
This year, more than 172,000 people will be told they have lung cancer. 60% will wonder why, as they never smoked or quit smoking years ago. Lung cancer will kill 163,000 people this year, more people than breast, prostate, colon, liver, and kidney cancers combined, making it by far America's number one cancer killer. But there is hope. New treatments are available and more are on the way. The Lung Cancer Alliance is working to focus attention and research on lung cancer to develop early detection tools and more treatment options. Lung Cancer Alliance is leading the charge as the only organization solely dedicated to providing support, resources, and a voice for people touched by lung cancer and those at risk for the disease. Join us in the fight against lung cancer. The time has come. No more excuses. No more lung cancer. To learn more, visit lungcanceralliance.org or call 1-800-298-2436.
Let's go back in time now to the Casino Hall of Fame and its founder and creator, Stephen Cutler. I remember they said when Sinatra and the boys were out there, you know, for $7 you got, which was more money than it is today, but for $7 you got a steak and you got to see that type of entertainment.
That's true. You know, you're talking about a dinner show, but most of these lounge shows, there was no cover or minimum. They were just totally free. It was a loss leader for the casinos, and it did get people in there. I'm going to tell you a real quick story, if I may, about Frank Sinatra. When Frank Sinatra was quartered away from the Desert Inn, and this is back in 1952, the Sands was just opening, and Jack N. Trotter, he vowed to have the best stable of entertainers in all of Las Vegas, and he was determined to get Frank Sinatra to leave the Desert Inn and come work for him at the Sands. Frank Sinatra was just getting his career really back on track after he won the Academy Award for being in the movie From Here to Eternity. It kind of put him back on the map. But Jack N. Trotter was still not quite sure if he could actually sell out a showroom. And the showroom at the Sands was bigger than the showroom at the Desert Inn. So what they did was they created a show around him. And you can win a trivia bet on this one. He was the featured singer in the Ziegfeld Follies. And I've got the program to prove it.
And he does have that and a whole bunch more. Check it out at CasinoLegendsHallOfFame.com. Thanks for joining me. I'm Stephen Maggi, and this is Vegas Never Sleeps.
We'll see you next week for more excitement and energy from the desert. This is Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.